What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. I see some people here live in our FTN Network YouTube page. Appreciate that. Mark Carr, I wrote down your question from yesterday, and I will get to it today when we get into some NFL. I'll get some NFL news and notes a little bit later on. I believe you asked about a couple rookie wide receivers, so I just didn't want to let that question slip by. I saw it late towards the end of the show. We do appreciate you hanging out, and I do agree. I give Gronk 4 months till he's back playing football again. We'll touch on some NFL news and notes, but of course, Gronk is headlined as he announced his retirement yesterday. As you see there, he's gone. As of now, he gone, but we've kind of seen this story before, have we not? I mean, we've certainly seen it before with Gronk, and we've seen it before with Tom Brady. The Bucs are going to be really good this season again. The NFC is not good at all. So, who knows? You know, rest up into November. Bucs are off to an 8-2 start. Tom calls Gronk. He probably definitely answers the phone, and we'll see. I kind of agree with Mark, though. I'll believe it when I see it. See if he's officially gone, but it was certainly surprising. I did think that he would be back for another go, especially when Brady announced that he would be back. But we do have some NFL news and notes. We're going to continue our NFL team previews here today. We are wrapping up the NFC East with the 4-win New York Giants from last season. The football Giants, one of the biggest acquisitions in the offseason, and it wasn't a player, it's personnel. Brian Daboll goes from Buffalo to New York. Man, you got to like that if you're a Giants fan. You have to like that. Just watching over the last couple of seasons, the creativity, not there. Creativeness, not there. Nothing creative at all. I'll say that. But the New York Giants offense over the past couple of seasons, I just found out, like, just the other day, our guy, you know, running the show for us, Tyler, producer Tyler here, he's a Giants fan. He's a Giants guy. And I said to him yesterday, and he agreed, reasons to be optimistic about this squad. It can't be this bad again for Kenny Golladay. Can it? 0 touchdowns last year. Saquon Barkley, another freaky injury. I believe Daniel Jones is 1 foot out the door. I think this is it for him. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a little Tyrod Taylor at some point. I do believe he is the backup quarterback there for the Giants. But honestly, there was a play last year. I think they were on their own 8 or 9, 3rd and 9, and you know they ran a quarterback sneak or something like that. It's just like nothing was creative about the Giants' offense. I think that we all know Daboll. I mean, what he did with Buffalo and what he did with Josh Allen. I don't think that he can turn Daniel Jones into Josh Allen, but certainly I think he can help him. Daily Handle in the house as well. I can't confirm he will most likely be back. Credible source told me. Interesting. Okay. Wouldn't be shocking, though. I don't think anybody here would be shocked if Gronk did indeed return for another go. One more ring. What's one more ring? Tonight's game 4. Of the Stanley Cup Finals. Speaking of rings, Tampa Bay looking for their 3rd straight Stanley Cup, but they're down 2-1. Game 4 happening tonight, of course, in Tampa Bay. We got some NHL props. We got some NHL picks. Dangle Batselli. It is live. We recorded it yesterday. It was on Game Plus Network yesterday. And if you missed it, you can watch on our FTN Network YouTube page, ftnbets.com. You can listen on iTunes and Spotify, just like this show. And if you are hanging out with us, Mark Carr, Daily Handle, appreciate you guys smashing the like button. And again, if you have any questions, always circling back before, you know, puck drop. If you have any hockey questions, a couple guys are questionable. We know Nikita Kucherov is going to play and Braden Point isn't going to play. I don't think we'll see Braden Point again. Waiting on Nazem Kadri. I do believe he will make an appearance in this season or in this series, rather. It may not be tonight. We'll keep an eye on all of that. But we ran through everything over at Dangle Batselli with we had Eric Young, of course, co-host, the Eric Young. And then we had Drew Livingstone on the show. Producer Drew, camera to Drew from Anthem Sports Entertainment. The old, good old days, right, guys? Yeah, I guess. Drew's great. He came in with his Avs jersey on. He had like a little bit of a Kale McCarr mustache going on, playoff beard. He talked about the highs and the lows in this series, and he gave some good insight on a couple players that he liked. But we'll dive into some props and some picks. Of course, we have some MLB props and some picks as well. And before we get going, trying to keep this block a little short, but I want to give some love to a couple people. First, the first person I want to give some love to is Kyle Murray. We have a new show on our FTN Network page. It is called the Prize Picks Prop Show. I jumped in there on Monday, and I gave my plays, I think 1 for 2. Not great. Obviously, I want to go 2 for 2. It's a quick little fast-paced show. Well, of course, we have the free pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com where you can mix and match across all the sports you love. PrizePicks offers them all. It's a simple over or under on a player's prop or their fantasy score. So Tuesday was okay. You know, 1 for 2 had the Rafael Devers over 1.5 total bases. Mike Trout over 1.5 total bases. He only had the one base. But yesterday, Kyle picked up the slack for me and he went a perfect 3 for 3 with 3 pitcher props. I think he had Kevin Gausman over 4.5 Ks. Sean Manaea over 5.5 Ks, which we also had on the show yesterday. That was a check mark. And then Tyler Molly under 5.5 Ks against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Kyle's super sharp. We're going to have a rotating guest of you know, people from FTN. And it's not just going to be all baseball. Of course, baseball is king here in the summer. But Kyle is recording a video right now for today's episode, the Travelers tournament course happening tomorrow. Just saw before we came on, Justin Thomas withdrew. But don't worry, he's not going to LIV Tour. He just can't play this weekend at the Travelers. But Kyle's going to have some golf picks for you. And then David Jones, who's a very sharp baseball mind as well, he's going to have some baseball picks for you on Friday. And I think I'll check in on Thursday. But we'll have a rotating crew from FTN, and we will also dive into other sports. We have some people who like esports. I know esports is very popular on Game Plus Network as well. So if you're hanging out here, checking out the show, and you're watching some esports on Game Plus, maybe a little bit later on, or you watched last week when they ran some tournaments and things like that, we have the free pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com. We will be talking some esports. And before you know it, football will be here. We got the NBA draft happening tomorrow. We got some NBA props, draft props for tomorrow. And then we got Zach Graham, Quisenberg DFS of FTN Daily, FTN Bets, and FTN Fantasy. He's going to hop on Friday and go over just some of the impact players, right, that could, I guess, make a fantasy basketball impact, and also just like from a real-life NBA standpoint. So we'll be hitting up all the sports tomorrow. We got Joe Pisapia, my guy, the author of the Fantasy Black Book, jumping on tomorrow as well. So we got a couple guests lined up for you. I am riding solo here with you for now. We're going to break, Tyler. We'll say goodbye for now, but hang tight. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jeff Ratcliff's Fantasy Football Draft Guide, which is releasing soon. And there's a couple news items, of course, in the NFL. Gronk, a little bit of Cam Akers and the Seattle backfield, and also a player that I'm kind of interested in, out of Carolina, certainly more in dynasty leagues, and I believe he could be had on the cheap. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page and here on Game Plus Network as well. Chris Meany here with you. I see some other people kind of rolling in here. Jacob Gambala is in here. Meany, you hopping on the O'Neill cruise train with the Pirates anytime soon? Dude has 5 RBIs in 2 games since getting pulled up to the bigs. Betting on him to get another tonight at plus 179. Jacob, we've been on the cruise train. We talked about him. Did we mention him yesterday? I thought we mentioned him on Monday. We definitely mentioned him on Monday. We did the waiver wire thing. We had some fantasy baseball waiver wire stuff. Actually, you know what? It would have been yesterday. I got my days all mixed up. So it's been 2 days since he's been back. We definitely gushed all over him yesterday. We talked about him at length. Of course, you know, we got some baseball stuff that we'll get to in the next block. But I think, you know, for him, what did you have? Plus 179 for him to get an RBI or something like that? You know, plus 300 for a stolen base is interesting as well. You know, we saw the speed on full display in the 2022 season debut. He had the bases clearing triple and he got thrown out a third, but he did steal a bag yesterday and he's had a pretty good start. Jacob, as you know, you're all over it. Yeah, we love Cruz here. We talked about him quite a bit, I believe, yesterday when we talked about the fantasy baseball waiver wire things. You know, he's still hanging around leagues. I know that, you know, his ownership is around 60%, and, you know, in some competitive leagues, he may have been drafted and scooped up everywhere a lot earlier, but, you know, you play in 8-team leagues, you know, he could certainly be available, right? You're not really stashing a lot of guys in 8-team leagues because the waiver wire is so, so strong, but he certainly should be owned. He's a 5-tool guy. He's got some speed. Yeah, Cruz, 6'7", and he had the 97-mile-an-hour gun from short to first, the fastest thrown ball from the infield all year long and fastest since they started recording it, I believe. I thought I saw that stat. It was Fernando Tatis Jr. who did have the highest or the hardest until Cruz. And what a game. I mean, he also had the hardest hit off the bat. I think it was like 119 miles per hour. Not the hardest in the bigs. That's not saying too much, but on the Pirates this season, and also the 3 fastest sprint speeds for the Pirates as well this year. He's a player. Yeah, Pittsburgh has to be excited. Talked about him quite a bit yesterday as well on the MLB DFS live show. Myself and Nick Schlein, we dove into the Pittsburgh Pirates. We liked them again yesterday, and they racked up a bunch of runs. They were pretty chalky, but they're pretty cheap. And not a lot of, you know, DraftKings FanDuel hasn't really caught up to his price just yet. I think he's jumped up a little bit. He was 2K yesterday, and I see him, I think, 2.7 here today. But yeah, Jacob, ride it out. Kid looks good. Hot fire. It's been a rough go in Pittsburgh for the past few years. So it's nice to see, you know, some prospects for some of these teams like Detroit, Riley Green, and then O'Neill Cruz for Pittsburgh. It's nice to see some of these guys get called up. Now that we're pushing July, starting to see the kids play a little baseball. I was going to do some NHL award stuff off the top, trying to balance out the show. I'm going to save it for the hockey block. Next block, we're going to do MLB, and then we'll dive into NHL in the fourth block here. Just a couple of news items, NFL news items. We'll start with Gronk. We kind of mentioned it in the last block. He did announce his retirement yesterday. And, you know, we have seen this before. You know, Mark says, you know, I give it 4 months until he's back playing again. You know, a terrific career. I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question about that. I saw some people rumbling, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I mean, my goodness, he's got the rings. At the time that he was at the peak of his game, he was one of the best, not just tight ends, one of the best. I mean, of course, like Brady to Gronk, we've seen it so many times. But, you know, at the tight end position, I think, you know, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. It could still do it, clearly. Last year, you know, fantasy points per game, he was a top six tight end. He missed a little bit of time, of course. He's been dealing with back injuries and so many injuries over the past few years. You know, blocking a lot, took a lot of hits, had a massive elbow pad. He still rocked the massive elbow pad. The 1 year was absolutely huge, but for sure, a Hall of Famer. Not sold if he's going to retire, but let's plan as if he is. I mean, he announced it, took to Twitter, announced it. I know his agent came out and said that, you know, he wouldn't be shocked that if, you know, Brady called towards, you know, closer to the end of the offseason, that he would definitely pick up the phone and think about it. And if the Bucks were off to a really good start, if Brady called again, you know, he would pick up the phone and certainly think about coming back. And all of those things will probably happen. Like, I'm sure Brady has said a few things about trying to keep him around, and I'm sure he'll call him again, right? And especially if the Bucks start strong, and we all expect them to. It's a very weak NFC conference. You know, I love the Bucks, like the Rams. The Packers are going to win double-digit games, but I don't really believe in their squad overall. And after that, it's what are we really looking at? The Cowboys are fine, right? They're okay. They don't win a lot of playoff games, but they're going to hang around. They're going to win double-digit games. Other than that, there's not a lot of strong teams. The Eagles, the Saints, these guys are just bubble teams. They probably wouldn't even make the playoffs in the AFC. So the door is completely wide open for the Bucs to go back. We'll see if Gronk makes a return. But as of now, he is not a member, so there's a couple things. You know, I'm seeing people on Twitter say, trying to justify drafting Gronk in the 10th round in best ball leagues. You know, you can't justify it now. It's, you know, there's other players you could have gotten that 10th round. Tyler Boyd, you know, is I know a number three on Cincy, but he stands out to me as a guy that maybe you could get Pat Freiermuth if he wanted to go the tight end way. We know that he's playing and he's not going to retire. Still just a young buck in the NFL. But nonetheless, if you already made those moves in best ball, I mean, it's too late. That's the perks, and there's pros and cons about drafting this early. You get the value. People were unsure about Gronk, and if he said, you know, this week that he was going to come back, then he would skyrocket up draft boards. But I will throw out Cameron Brate to you if you are indeed drafting best ball leagues. You know, if you're just drafting with your buddies in 12 team leagues, probably not somebody that you're going to leave your draft with, Cameron Brate. But if you're in deeper formats, two tight end leagues, playing a couple of those myself, he's certainly an option. They don't really have anybody else on the roster. They got rid of OJ Howard, who hasn't really done anything over the past couple of years, but Cameron Brate's pretty good. He's really good. He had some moments with Jameis Winston a couple years ago. I think he had some moments with Fitzpatrick as well. And then also some moments, of course, when Gronk was hurt and he wasn't really a factor in the offense, we saw Cameron Brate from time to time. They did draft a tight end, Joshua. He's actually slipping my mind, the tight end that they drafted. That's why I didn't really bring him up. But they did draft a guy. But I do believe, you know, Cameron Brate will get the bulk of the snaps, the targets, running routes when he's out there. Reliable end zone target for Tom Brady. I'm not saying to put him on your list. I'm saying that if you're drafting best ball, underdog best ball drafts, and you want to have that Tampa Bay stack and you go with Mike Evans, you could certainly take Brady a little bit later on and then Cameron Bray towards the end. But who I really wanted to give some love to is Russell Gage. Now, Russell Gage is going to climb up draft boards now that this news has happened. Over the past 6 weeks, NFFC leagues, high-stakes leagues, money on the line, wide receiver 41, ADP 98, a min of 61, and a max of 131. So some people just not really sure what to do with Russell Gage. But ultimately, we know that Chris Godwin may miss some time. He may not be ready to go right away. But Russell Gage had a really good season last year. And Tom Brady dropped back more than any quarterback in the NFL. He led the league in passing yards. He led the league in passing attempts. He led the league in passing touchdowns. The offense is not going to change because Gronk is gone. They are going to continue to chuck. And one thing I saw last year and even in the year before with Tom Brady, no matter the score, it didn't really matter. This was a team using some of our tools over at FTN Daily, FTNFantasy.com, pace of play, top 10, lot of plays, and quickly running them and chucking. So we do like them. We do like them in there as well. Kind of get to some of that baseball stuff in a little bit there. Jacob, don't want to completely ignore you. Yeah, fastest infield throw from a Giant and the second hardest hit off the bat in the bigs this season. And bases clearing double caught at third. Yeah, I like that he went for it at third, right? You don't want to be the first out or the last out at third. And I don't believe he was. I think maybe the second. But man, my goodness, right? He was round in second with a big smile on his face. The kids are having fun. I like to see the kids, pushing the pace, and that's exactly what we saw there. David disagrees with this. Kate Otten from Washington, that's right. And they got Keith, yeah. Just, meh, you know what I mean? Like Cameron Bray. But Russell Gage is the big winner here, and he's going to continue to, now he's going to rise up draft boards just a little bit. I think he's a strong target, I really do. And Brady said last week that Russell Gage has to have a good season. Like, way to put the pressure on the newcomer. But apparently Brady called Gage in the offseason. Gage, according to reports, picked up the phone, Tom called me, wants me. Of course he's going to go over there. And he is a really good player. And he had a really good season last year for a very, very poor team. David disagrees with this. With the Gage, Joshua, are you not in on Gage? I think he's okay. I think he's all right where he's going. A couple news items here. A lot of these are from The Athletic, so we'll give them some love, of course. Cam Akers told The Athletic that, he feels 100% here in minicamp. Of course, he came back last year from the Achilles injury, and he wasn't good. He wasn't really efficient. There was a couple moments he had was like, oh, wow, Cam Akers, nice. Like, he caught a couple balls into the backfield, and he looked explosive at times. But ultimately, when you look at all of his numbers, the yards per carry, it wasn't good at all. But he went up against all of the defenses that he went up against were all top 10 in rush DVOA last season, according to Football Outsiders. He had the first playoff matchup against Arizona. They were strong against the run. He had another playoff matchup against the Bucs. They've been one of the best teams against the run for years. And then San Fran, also strong against the run. And then in the Super Bowl, the Bengals a couple years ago were the worst team in the NFL against the run. Everybody was running all over them, especially Lamar Jackson. But last year, they were strong against the run. So I don't want to put too much into the efficiency. I think the biggest takeaway for me last year in the playoffs is that he got the bulk of the work, a lot of the touches, and it took a little bit for Sean McVay. I mean, they drafted this guy, clearly they liked him, and they moved up to get him. It took some time for him to take over the backfield in his rookie season, and when he finally did, he got a lot of work. McVay gave him the rock a ton, and he looked really explosive. I think he's going to catch some balls out of the backfield more than people think. I got him projected for 36 catches. I think he can flirt with 40. It's a really good offense. The offensive line took a little bit of a step back, right? Whitworth has gone there, but it's a good offense. Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, and we saw some targets. I at least saw some targets in the playoffs. I remember talking on this show, like over 1.5 started off plus money, 2.5 was plus money, and he was hitting those props. I think he's a guy that could average around 2.7, 2.8 catches per game, 17 games. I think he can get to 40 catches. I think he can live in around the 40 catch mark, which adds upside. And I'm not a big believer in Daryl Henderson. He's already dealing with a soft tissue injury, and he's just been hurt numerous times. And there's a reason that after they drafted Henderson and Akers suffered that injury, brought in Sony Michel right away, but also like drafted Cam Akers having Henderson on the squad. And at the time, I do believe Todd Gurley may have been on the squad as well. Near the end, right? There was that buyout and things like that in LA, kind of such as the running backs, such as life, short shelf life for sure. So I like Cam Akers. RB 15, ADP 29, min 19, max 42. I think he's a strong target. Volume opportunity, I think it's great. I think he's going to get a ton of it. So Cam Akers is certainly a target of mine. And then Seattle, there's a report out of Seattle as well that Rashad Penny is in the driver's seat to be the primary back in Seattle. And I do believe that, even though they drafted Kenneth Walker pretty early, I do believe that they will give the veteran back, Rashad Penny, at least first crack at having first touches in that offense. It's not going to be a good offense. The offensive line is not great. We all know Russell Wilson's not the quarterback anymore. Drew Luck, Geno Smith. There's holes all over the squad. It's the first year for Seattle fans. I mean, they drafted Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner together in the same draft. They're both gone. Wagner went to the Rams because of Cam Akers with the division rivals. I don't really like to have a running back on a bad team. I mean, we'll talk Saquon a little later. I would rather take the upside in Saquon, of course. I think we all would, even though the Giants have been one of the worst offensive teams in each of the past couple of seasons. But I'm not in on it. And I do kind of agree with that. Penny, from Frick there, he's a little small for the NFL. He won people fantasy football championships last year. There's no question about it. He came on strong. He was also a first-round pick a couple years ago that really just hasn't done anything. It's been, a couple games in each season, and that was it. But towards the end of last season, he looked good. He looked fast. He was explosive. He had a lot of big games. He got a lot of touches. But still, for Seattle, I mean, clearly Chris Carson's not going to be ready. He could retire. I think the writing is on the wall when they drafted Walker for Carson, but also for Penny, they didn't pick up the option and he had that strong finish and then they found a way to get him, extended for a year, but he just hasn't been healthy. So for ADP wise, NFFC, high stakes leagues again, last five weeks, we got Penny RB 33, ADP 93, min of 52, max of 134, like all over the place. Nobody really knows what to do with Penny. I think the sharp thing is to fade him. No one didn't take him in the top 50 picks. And then Walker, RB 27, ADP 75, min of 47, and a max of 105. I would rather Walker if you want one. I think he's a decent dynasty guy. I don't think you should avoid him. And, in dynasty startups you could, but in just rookie only, I've seen him fall to like five or six. People don't really want him. Volume's going to be there. Opportunity's going to be there. He's a better athlete than Penny. It's only a matter of time before he overtakes Penny. There's one more news note. I don't know if I gave it to you, Tyler. It was about Terrace Marshall just having a really good... There you go. Man, this guy's all over it. Terrace Marshall looks more confident at minicamp again, according to The Athletic. There's a couple reports that you just have to take with a grain of salt. Like, Ritter is going to compete for the job in Atlanta. Like, obviously, right? They don't have Matt Ryan there anymore. They bring in Marcus Mariota, who is familiar with Arthur Smith. He was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, but Mariota hasn't been the starter for a while. And when he was the starter, he wasn't all that good. Of course, Ritter is going to compete with Mariota. So you take those reports with a grain of salt. But that one, Terrace Marshall, I like hearing that he looks a little bit more confident. They drafted him early last year, not super early, but an LSU product who was really good. Of course, with Joe Burrow, that offense was fantastic. Didn't really do anything last year. Didn't really get a whole lot of touches. But Robbie Anderson, there's been some reports as he won a tire. Didn't really do anything last year. The offense doesn't look all that great this year. The outlook of it anyways, if it is going to be Sam Darnold, they could get Cam. They could get Baker Mayfield. How much of an upgrade is that? I think it is an upgrade, but not much more. They're going to be in the quarterback market, I do believe, next year, whether it's free agency or, in that class of good quarterbacks, they'll get themselves one. Terrace Marshall is a great buy in dynasty. Marshall's a PTP dominant LSU. I think he's a really good buy low in dynasty leagues. I don't think he should be I'm not into him being a redraft target. He's not even really getting drafted. He's going late. Like best ball, he's not even really getting drafted either. You want a Carolina stack, you can certainly, finish that stack with Terrace Marshall. But Robbie Anderson, I know he re-upped last year, but I don't see a big future with him in Carolina. I think we'll see a little bit more from Marshall, learning the playbook and getting a little bit more comfortable in year number two. Mariota had way too much Jeff Fisher. To be fair with Marcus Mariota, I believe his first three seasons in the NFL, he had a new offensive coordinator in each of those three seasons. That's really tough. It's really, really tough for anybody in the NFL, especially a quarterback and a young quarterback entering the league. New offensive coordinator. I mean, it's extremely tough. I gave him passes in those years with the new offensive coordinators. He had a pretty good showing in the playoffs. He had a decent game against the Pats, I remember, and he had another one against the Chiefs. I remember when he threw a pass in the end zone and it bounced off someone's helmet and he caught it himself. That was really, That was a cool moment. That was like peak Marcus Mariota. And he did have some moments in some red zone packages with the Raiders. Maybe the Falcons could use him that way if they want to go Ritter. But let's be honest. We're not getting super excited about Marcus Mariota. If he is a starter week one, I think it'd be an okay number two super flex rushing upside. We like Pitts. We like Drake London. But other than that, it's still going to be a really, really, really bad football team. Yeah, he's average. He's an average quarterback. This is why he hasn't been a starter for a long time. A long time. Chip Kelly loved him, though, I'll tell you that. All right, we will break, and we'll dive into some MLB picks and props. Still got some NHL stuff to come to as well. Keep it locked. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. I see you, Stefan Lako. I need those hockey bets. Sir. They're coming, dude. They're coming, and I got a bunch of them. I kind of went nuts. I was going to give more to my guy, George. It's like, I got to keep it, you know, I can't be giving too many hockey bets. Don't want to confuse people, but I do have quite a few. I got some props. I got some shot block props. I ain't going all over. I'm going all out here. Lako, all out here today. But first, some MLB props. We did have Jacob in here talking about Cruz. I think the 0.25 unit or 0.5 unit play on Cruz, maybe steal a bag at plus 300, I think is interesting, right? He's clearly got some speed, and they're going to let him go if he can get a single. Maybe he can swipe a bag. I don't hate it. It's not what I came in here with, but I don't hate it. This is what I have. Tyler, if you want to check it up. We got a few here that are interesting and for me anyways. So Luis Araz, I just keep putting him in the bet tracker. Every time Minnesota faces a righty and they're going to go up against Tristan McKenzie, who I do like as a pitcher, but he's got some command issues, walked nearly 5/9 last year. This year it's been sub 3, but still, you know, walking some guys and, you know, he gives up some bombs and things like that. He's actually been really good against lefties. A 133 average, that's all lefties have against him this season. But Araz leads the bigs in average against right-handed pitching, hit him 404. He's got 65 hits. I expect him to get on base today. And then some of these guys behind him, like Carlos Correa, we got Byron Buxton, and then Max Kepler. So yesterday I talked about the Twinkies on the MLB DFS show. They were like a sneaky stack for me, and it looked awful and towards the end, and they got their runs. We came on the show, and we had over 5.5 at plus money. I think we had actually over 4.5 in the bet tracker. I think it came down. I gave 5.5 on the show, and then it came down 4.5 when I put in the bet tracker at like minus 135 or not. But Araz doesn't have a ton of power. Like, he's just like slap singles and that's it. He hit a bomb yesterday and I wish I was all over it. And today he's like plus 650 for a homer. It's kind of intriguing. Maybe he can go back to back. I don't know, like a 0.25, 0.5 unit on the bomb. But I'm just looking for him to score a run today. Like I said, I like the matchup here. And there's a lot of afternoon action. This one is happening at 7:40 Eastern. Sonny Gray on the hill for Minnesota. And they get like a 4.8. Team implied total. So I like the spot for him to get on base and score some runs. JD Martinez was in there over 1.5 total bases at plus 110. Tariq Skubal on the bump for the Tigers. He's allowed a home run in each of his last three starts. He's really been roughed up lately. He's actually having a pretty decent season overall. He's got a 3.13 ERA. The xFIP is lower. He's keeping the ball on the ground 47% of the time, but the bombs have happened lately, and he's been rocked lately. Texas, Toronto, and Pittsburgh, his last three starts, giving up 21 hits, 12 runs, and the three homers there. And he's walking guys. He's walked four over that span as well. You know, again, just I'm not going to spend too much time on these Red Sox guys. It was Rafael Devers before that. I think maybe even Rafael Devers the day before that one. I like those three hitters for Boston, and anytime really that just some of the splits, right? With JD against a lefty, he's historically been one of the better hitters in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years against lefties. He actually had just hit his first home run of the season against a lefty last week, and then he did it again the very next day. 395 average so far this season against lefties. He's got a 500 on base percentage, 674 slug, a 1.174 OPS, 279 ISO, and a 495 WOBA to go along with a 228 WRC plus. Those are very, very good numbers against southpaws. And also Mike Trout is up against a southpaw today in Daniel Lynch, who has 17 strikeouts over his last two starts, but those two outings came against Oakland and Baltimore, not great teams. The Angels are striking out a ton yesterday. This is the Angels in a nutshell. If you watched them yesterday, how about Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani yesterday had two three-run shots. He finished with 8 RBIs. The Angels put up a 10 spot and still lost. Like, this is the stuff that you deal with as a Halos fan over the past couple years. Mike Trout, Shohei, so good, but yet they can't put it together. Just goes to show baseball is such a team sport. But Shohei got them going yesterday, and they were down 6-0, got them tied, had the three-run shot in the bottom of the ninth to tie it up when they were down three, and then still, right, the bullpen blows it, and away you go. But Daniel Lynch will probably rack up a couple strikeouts. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but he probably will rack up a couple against the Halos, who do have the highest strikeout rate in baseball against righties, even though Lynch is a lefty. But 17 runs, 5 homers allowed in his last 4 outings, 8 batters over that span. It's 4 walks per 9. It's that's really what it comes down to. One thing with the Prize Picks, and we gave it a little bit of love, the Prize Picks prop show. What I really like over there is you can do hits plus walks. You can't do that elsewhere. Trout may walk once or twice with Lynch, kind of, you know, with the command issues, but ultimately, I really like this spot for Mike Trout, and it's very similar. What he's doing against lefties is what JD Martinez had done. Like, look at this slash line: 351, 479, 667, a 1.146 OPS, 316 ISO is tremendous, 42 WOBA, and a 222 WRC plus against lefties. And if you look at some of the splits for Lynch, he has been a little bit better against lefties, of course, the lefty on lefty, but righties are slashing 282, 351, 468. They got the 352 WOBA, and all 9 homers that he's allowed this season have been to right-handed batters. They have the higher fly ball rate at 44%. They have the higher hard hit rate at 39%. So I like Mike Trout in there as well. And this one actually is my favorite prop to wrap it up. I probably could have led with it. It's George Kirby, over 4.5 strikeouts at -110. I really like this kid. Overall, he only has 41 strikeouts rather in 43 innings, but I love the command. He only has 5 walks over that span, 1.05 walks per 9. He is absolutely clean to the plate, which is great for a young buck. It allows him to go deeper into games. 5-6 innings is something that he's completed consistently lately. But overall, pretty good run, right? 3.56 ERA, a 3.41 xFIP, so a little bit lower. He's got the double-digit swinging strike percentage. He keeps the ball on the ground 47% of the time. A matchup here against Oakland. They have the 8th highest strikeout rate in baseball against righties, striking out 23.6% of the time. He faced Oakland on May 24th. He got roughed up in that start. It was one of his first starts, but he struck out 9 batters over 5 innings. So give me the over 4.5, and let's get to the hockey picks. Keep her locked. NHL in here next. Welcome back. And before we get to tonight's NHL picks, I meant to do this off the top of the show, but I really wanted to give a little bit of love to Austin Matthews. Believe it or not, Austin Matthews, daily handle. There you go. Just the NHL awards last night. We got to give some love. Austin Matthews took home the Hart Trophy for a fantastic 60 goal campaign. He also took home the Ted Lindsay Award, which is basically the MVP voted on by the players. So your peers, certainly they respected Austin Matthews' big performance. We had Igor Shesterkin as well, who took home the Vezina Trophy. And then we had Moritz Seider took home the Calder Trophy. I think all of it, Cale Makar took home Norris. I think if I had a vote, I may have gone Roman Josi over Cale Makar, but pretty darn close, right? I honestly would have gone Igor Shesterkin for the Hart. I don't know, Tyler, if you do have that from George or not. If you don't, it's all good. You can check it up. But yeah, here you go. Here's the awards. Just taking a look at all of it. Igor Shesterkin took home 29 of the 32 ballots, like the first place vote on 29 of the 32. Clearly, the Vezina, he was phenomenal all year long. The reason I would have given him the Hart, and again, it has nothing to do with hating on the Leafs. I don't hate the Leafs, guys. Come on. At least they won something here in June, right? A little bit of a low blow. But Igor Shesterkin was just the true MVP, like the most valuable player in the league to his team. I don't think the Rangers were, I don't think they would have been a playoff team without him. I truly believe that. And for the Leafs, just loaded on offense. Don't want to take too much away from Matthews. Great season, fantastic, 60 goals. It really, it is well-deserving. And you got the peers and the Ted Lindsay, the peers in the league, the players voting for him as well. Again, nothing wrong with it. Kind of splitting hairs. Thought Igor was fantastic. Selfishly had him 35-1 in the bet tracker to win the Hart. So maybe that's it. But the Norris, quickly, this is from my guy Max Bolton from The Athletic. I used to produce his podcast, Wings for Breakfast, over there. He's a really sharp dude, covers Detroit, of course. He said Norris was his toughest vote this year, and oh man, it was so close. He said he went with Makar. 1,631 votes for Cale Makar. 1,606 for Roman Josi, right? Separated by fewer than 30 votes. And also, Josi had six more first place votes than Cale Makar. But fantastic, both of these guys. And then we have another board with the first stars, the first team stars from last night in the awards. Oh, there it is. You brought it up. My bad. I thought you had the award won there as well, but all good. Just brought up there for you. You did. I'm all over the place. You're all over this, man. Tyler is crushing it. New producer for us. Can you go back to the first team All-Star that you had up originally? Agree with all of this. Absolutely. Josi, Makar, Johnny Hockey, Matthews, Mitch Marner. It is interesting, though, that Connor McDavid is not here to win the Art Ross and not be named to the first All-Star team. He was named to the second team. So I had to go back and look just to see. I was curious, and I thought that this was going to happen. I did feel like, you know, Matthews was going to certainly... I thought he was going to get the Hart for sure, and it wasn't going to be McDavid. And then, you know, if he's getting the Hart, he's getting Ted Lindsay, and he's definitely going to be the first team All-Star as the center position. So I went back and looked. It's happened twice since 2000. So I went back to 2000, that was it, that the Art Ross winner was not named to the first team. Any guesses here? I know we may be on a little bit of a lag, but I'll tell you right now, it was Jamie Benn in 2015. And then the following year, he was named to the first team. But remember when he won the Art Ross trophy in 2015, he had like 87 points. He wasn't named to the first All-Star team. I believe it was Patrick Kane. And then in 2013, Martin St. Louis, same thing. St. Louis was on a couple first team All-Stars. It's certainly at least one right around that 2014, 2013 time, but not 2013, when he did win the Art Ross, he was not named there. Let's get into tonight. We got the Bolts and the Avs. I do believe this has changed just slightly. I want to give you guys the latest odds. So I'm looking over at our free prop shop and parlay calculator. I'm on the Lightning here. I'm on the Avs tonight. I was kind of feeling the Lightning yesterday with Eric. I've been on the Lightning basically every single show. It's pretty much the same. Minus 105 is the best odds I'm seeing over at DraftKings, and Tampa is minus 109 if you do want to back them. I definitely like the over, and I'm shocked that it's still at 6. You get plus 105 at Caesars. What's going on here? Like, it's been over every single game. Vasilevskiy was fantastic in game 3, and the total still went over. I like over 6 goals. There's just so much offense with these two squads. I just don't think that that's going to change. You know, I've been on Tampa here. I was on Tampa to win the series. Just some things have happened since then. And, you know, I've called myself accountable. I'll take the loss if they do lose, of course. Like, I'm not going to make any excuses. But no Braden Point, right? He's clearly not himself. I thought that he would be okay. Watching him in game 1 and 2, I kind of thought, no, he's definitely not himself. I mean, he only had 2 shot attempts and 0 shots. And now he was ruled out yesterday. He's already ruled out. And there's some reports that he's probably not going to return here. And then Nick Paul, right? I know we played through that yesterday or in the last game on Tuesday, on Monday. I really do have my days mixed up. On Monday, just playing through it. I know he scored a goal. Those are 2 significant losses. I'd expect Colorado to bounce back here tonight. So I'm taking the Avs on the money line, and I like the over 6. It's kind of where I'm at in terms of the game. Selfishly, I would love to see Tampa Bay win this. I want to see 7 games in this series. I think the best way to see 7 games would be for Tampa to even up this series at 2 games apiece. They certainly made some adjustments. They were stronger at 5-5 right off the hop. Colorado, at the end of the day, you looked at the 5-5 numbers, the expected goals, in favor of Colorado, the shot attempts, high danger chances. But the game was out of hand in the third, and they outshot Tampa Bay at 5-5, 22-2 in the third period. But again, the game was completely out of line there. At that moment, they were just doing, you're just getting pucks in deep, and you're playing defense, you're clogging up neutral zones, all those cliches. Yeah, I was looking at that, Lako. Good call. Thank you. I was looking for some Kadri stuff. I saw him yesterday. He had a couple shots towards the net. He's skating with the second power play unit. And Bednar did say that he expects him to play at some moment in this series. You know, Drew Livingstone came on the show yesterday, Avs guy, producer over at Sportsnet, and he said his take was, why would he go with the team to Tampa if he wasn't going to play or if there wasn't a chance? And I think that's fair, but ultimately he would have went anyways. I think he was just there with his team. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. You want to be there. Plus you're practicing anyways. We'll see. I don't know if we'll suit up tonight, but you know, he's close. I don't know how effective he'll be when he plays. Don't believe he'll take any faceoffs. Already seeing him practice on the second unit. So that benefits a guy like Arturi Lehkonen as well. Let's get into some props. We're going to lead here with my favorite, and it's a shot block prop What is going on? Eric Chernak over 2.5 blocks plus 105. You see the 11 blocks in the Stanley Cup Finals. He's cleared this number in each of the three games in this series. I was just trying to think out of the box. A shout out to Adam Rentkamp as well for mentioning on Dangle Bet. We were just talking about different props, and he liked some shot block props, and why not? Ultimately, Tampa Bay is giving up a lot of shot attempts, 160 to 100. The shot attempts at 5-5, courtesy of Natural Stat Trick, in favor of Tampa. Overall, 218, 147. Chernak is getting a lot of ice time. He's playing against key players. He's playing on the penalty kill. So I like the over 2.5 at plus money for him to rack up 3 blocks. I also think Ryan McDonough's in play if you want to do some same game parlay stuff. I saw him at 1.5, and then he was a little juice, but Mikhail Sergachev also at 1.5. But Chernak is my guy. I'm going with him over 2.5 blocks at plus 105 over at DraftKings. Some other things that I like: Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots, and I like him to score. You can only keep Nathan MacKinnon off the score sheet for so long. That's it. It's ultimately, I know there's not a lot of analysis behind that, but if you want to dive into some of the numbers, I mean, 32 shot attempts in this series leads all players. He's got 14 shots on goal. He does have 2 points, but he's yet to score. But he also leads all players in scoring chances with 19 as well, and he is third on his team in expected goals at 1.28. I think this is the game where Nathan MacKinnon does find the back of the net. We know that Darcy Kuemper is starting. I mean, that would just be crazy if he didn't start here tonight. Victor Hedman over 2.5 shots and an assist. And Victor Hedman is the player for Tampa Bay who has been the most consistent in terms of shots and shot attempts in this series. He has 20 shot attempts and he's got 8 shots. He also has 6 scoring chances, but we're just looking for an assist. He's got 3 assists here in this series, and we need a couple more for the over 4.5 point prop that we gave before the series started. Hedman, we were all over in the last game as well for an assist. Nikita Kucherov over 2.5 shots. It's not juiced up, actually. Saw minus 145 at DK and an assist there. Andre Palat for a point. Mikko Rantanen for an assist. He's got 7 helpers in this series. And then Corey Perry over 1.5 shots and for a point. Corey Perry is the big winner here with no Braden Point in the lineup. Corey Perry played a playoff high 17 minutes and 10 seconds in the last game. He scored a power play goal. Consider maybe 0.25 on an assist, which is plus 300, maybe a power play point in there as well. We just got 7 shots on goal in his last 2 games. So I like the over 1.5 shots there as well. We do have to break. We got to wrap up with the New York Football Giants. We're going to preview them from a betting standpoint and from a fantasy football standpoint. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. Troy, the block props are over at DraftKings. My bad. They're over at DraftKings. It's plus 105. I just checked. It's still there. Eric Chernak over 2.5 blocks. He's got 11 blocks here in the 3 games. He's cleared 2.5 in each of the 3 games. Also over at PrizePicks, they have him at 2.5 as well. And I just saw Nikita Kucherov at minus 141 for 2.5 shots. He did nothing in the first 2 games of the series, but he's really, really good on home ice, and he's going to play. And Colorado poked the bear, man. They really did. That dirty hit. Nikita Kucherov, like, sometimes he just kind of flies under the radar. It doesn't look like he's doing a whole lot. And then, boom, there's a fancy play. He's on the score sheet. Or, you know, he's engaged, and he really looked engaged. So I do believe he's going to continue to shoot the puck. I mean, he had, like, 6 shots in the last game. He nearly had, I think he had 11 shot attempts. And it's a guy that had, like, nothing in the first 2 games. Just had to give him the business. And then, you know he's a friend of the show. So he heard, and he showed up in a big way. New York Football Giants. 2 blocks here to wrap up with the Giants. I don't have a whole lot to really get through in this block with them. I mean, you see the win total 7.5, 9-1 to win the NFC East, 60-1 to win the NFC, 130-1 to win the Super Bowl. Last year's record, 4-13. Let's run through this record. Like, really, I set off the top that Brian Daboll is the biggest acquisition, not only, I don't want to say the biggest in football, but from a coaching standpoint, let's be honest, probably one of the biggest ones. I know he doesn't have any experience as a head coach, but offensive coordinator did some great things with Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Key losses from the Giants. He lost Evan Engram, James Bradbury. You bring in Ricky Seals-Jones, Jordan Akins, Tyrod Taylor. You know, I thought they had a fantastic NFL draft. If you're looking for more draft analysis, Emery Hunt joined me about a month ago, and we broke down the Giants draft, like Thibodeau and Evan Neal. Like, those were really good picks. Rondell Robinson, I think, was a little bit of a head scratcher. He kind of reminds me of Kadarius Toney, which is a guy that they have, right? So I didn't fully understand that pick, but I'll trust Daboll on what they can do. We'll get into some of their weapons in the final block here. But this is how their season starts. At Tennessee, I kind of view that one as a loss. I think they could beat Carolina. Let's give them a win week two home opener against Carolina. Then they play Dallas. That's a loss. We'll give them a win against Chicago. Green Bay is a loss. Baltimore is a loss. We'll give them a win in Jacksonville. We'll also give them a win in Seattle. Ooh, man, I actually don't mind their schedule here. There's more wins than I thought. A win after, what do we have, Houston? So they go Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston. I think those are all three W's. They lose to Dallas. They lose to Washington. They lose to Philly. They win one against Washington. They lose to Minnie. They lose to the Colts. They lose that other one to Philly to wrap it up. So I got them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins, kind of right at that number. Certainly they could get the split against Philly, and they could get the split against Washington. 9 to win the NFC East doesn't seem like a terrible bet at all. It doesn't if you are looking for a long shot. I don't think they're there yet. Ultimately, the offense does certainly need to improve. The defense is okay, but they've been one of the worst offensive teams in football in each of the past two seasons. There's some improvements, right? Coaching is one, right? More creative play. Creative play calling. Jason Garrett on the sidelines doing nothing with the play calling. Awful. And then Jones missed some time. You got to have Jones under center. He's the key. You got to get him in there. Plus the division winner, it doesn't always repeat. It's been years since they've repeated in the NFC East, but I do believe Philly's got a better chance to win the division, but there's been worse bets. We'll say that, Joshua. But I am on the under for the win total. We'll talk about Saquon Barkley and just some of their weapons to wrap up Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in here. They used to split with the Giants, answering some questions here from Joshua. Last year they didn't. They did get one win inside the division, and it was against the Eagles. Some only four wins last year, right? I know they dealt with some injuries, but when Manning was under center, they were splitting against Dallas. So let's look at just their fantasy targets. The only guy, there's two guys that I actually don't mind here that I would take shots on. And again, this is NFFC leagues, high stakes league. Saquon Barkley, I'm taking a shot here. ADP 21. If I can get this guy at the end of the second, a 13th running back off the board. I know he was hurt, and he's been hurt numerous times, really. I mean, mediocre 3.7 yards per carry last year, 162 attempts, only 593 yards. He was limited to 13 games, and he only had four total touchdowns, but he did have that upside ceiling game that we know that he could have. Remember against the Saints last year, he finished as RB32 and he only averaged 9.9 points per game in a half point setting. He failed to score double digit points in 9 of his 13 games, but it can't get any worse, right? Again, they've made some adjustments on the offensive line. The play calling is going to be much better. I don't mind taking a shot there on Barkley. The only other guy I like on this list is Kadarius Toney as wide receiver 45. He had some really good moments last year as a member of the Giants as a rookie, and Sterling Shepard hasn't been able to stay healthy. He takes that role in the slot. Kenny Golladay, 0 touchdowns last year, like 37 yards per game. Not what they spent, and I'll tell you that right now. But that's the only guys I'm really in on. Giants 31st in yards per game, passing yards per game, points per game. Jones is on the way out. Giants allowed 24 points per game, 129 rushing yards per game last season, both marks inside the top 10, and they finished last in rush DVOA defense, according to Football Outsider. So ultimately, and they lost James Bradbury, so there's still a lot of holes on this squad. But Saquon is worth your time, and I do believe Kadarius Toney is also worth your time. Maybe Daniel Jones in the Superflex. I know he likes to call his own number quite a bit, but if Saquon's healthy, he shouldn't be running. And that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers. We'll be right back.